All right, well, sometimes here we follow the theme that we start in our morning Bible studies. And for the Christmas season, we usually don't. For me, it's just I'm trying to get my mind back refreshed and renewed in the birth of Jesus and everything significant about his coming. And so we've spent a couple weeks so far looking at what we're calling the fear nots of Christmas. And today we'll be there in the third week as well. Next week we'll wrap up this series. But what we're looking at is four significant people from this story where an angel pronounced to them and said, what? All right, fear not, do not be afraid, okay? And so far we've looked through a couple of these, and we saw Joseph initially, the man betrothed to Mary, and the angel said to Joseph, do not be afraid, because why? You remember? Because God is at work. God is at work. This thing that's going on in Mary is not betrayal. She hasn't left you for another man. This is God. And so we reminded ourselves as Christians, specifically for believers, that God is always at work in our lives, even in ways that we may not understand or be able to see clearly. And so that was Joseph. Last week we looked into Zacharias. You remember Zacharias? The angel said to him in the temple, again, what? Fear not or do not be afraid. Why? All right, because your prayers have been heard. And so last week we talked about how that should reassure us that when we pray, there's somebody who's listening and he is there and he's active and he's at work. And so we can take great comfort in the fact that there is our God listening right there. Well, today we're going to look at Mary. We'll find her in Luke 1. And these are all familiar people to you probably in these stories. But their stories certainly are worthy of us remembering and reminding ourselves of some principles, and we'll do that here today. But before we get into that, we always like to talk. So let's talk. Have you ever been scared? Has there been a time recently where you've been afraid of something? You don't have to blurt it out loud, but we've probably been afraid of something here recently, but definitely within our lifetime, there's something that has made us afraid. I can remember as a child being afraid to go into my basement. Anybody else that way? So I'm a pretty transparent guy, so I try to share things with you like that. I was afraid, even with the lights on, I was a little bit scared to go in the basement. But you know when I wasn't scared to go downstairs? When somebody else was down there. So if my brothers were down there playing, if my mom or dad are down there playing, or they weren't playing, if they were downstairs, they may have been playing, who knows? we need to leave that alone, but I was willing to go downstairs if somebody else was there, is the way that we'll say that. I know some people who are scared to go into the reptile house over at St. Louis Zoo. Anybody scared to go into the reptile house? Hey, well, you're pointing at the right guy there, sir. Yeah, that's not my house for sure. I don't like the snakes and those creatures. Others in my family are not so fond of that, but we hold hands, pray, and we go in together saying they're going to stay in their cages. They can't get us. That is a little bit of an exaggeration. Not entirely, though. But when we go in together, it's doable, right? There's still some fear present, but it's doable. And so that's the thing with fear. When I act in courage, it doesn't mean I'm not afraid, right? Courage says fear is real and it's right here within me, but I'm still going to do what I should do. I'm not going to allow my fear to keep me from doing what I am supposed to be doing. I'm not going to let it suppress me. And so when somebody else is there with us, sometimes that makes things more tolerable. I guess that's why maybe you don't see people going into haunted houses by themselves. I don't know. Typically, it's large groups of people, right? Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we're just more comfortable going in when there's a group of people. It's not as scary if you're screaming also, okay, like a little girl or boy, as the case may be. So having somebody with us makes things a little bit less scary. So if that's going into a basement, if that's going into a haunted house, let's get a little more serious. What about going into a doctor's office? Maybe not for an annual checkup or something like that. I mean, there could be issues there, but what about when you've had some tests run and you're waiting on results and you're just not thinking this is going to turn out good? When you have a spouse or a friend or a child who goes in that room with you, it makes things a little more tolerable. It's not quite as scary because somebody's right there. And maybe for some of you, this is entirely hypothetical, but to go into a principal's office by yourself, I hear, can be scary. But when you have a cohort who has been in trouble with you, then it's not as bad. Is that true, Mr. Principal? You work with them one-on-one, right? So whatever it is, when somebody's with us, it makes things less scary, and we can really try to do whatever it is that is laying there in front of us. And so we're going to see that also today with Mary. Mary had somebody promise to be with her, and it changed her outlook. It changed her response. It was really impressive how she reacted to the Lord here this morning. So if you've got a Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 to 38. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one in a pew around you. If there is, you can take that with you. If you don't own a Bible, we would love to purchase one for you. So if you just let us know secretly, it's no big deal. We'd love to give you that sort of gift. Nothing greater that we could wrap up for you today than God's Word. And we're going to find Mary here, though. Mary is the woman who was betrothed to Joseph. We believe Mary was a young teenage girl at this time, and she's going to have an encounter with an angel. And so what we're going to look at is what the angel says to her and how she reacted. Then we're going to pull some principles from Mary that we can apply to our lives today. Because none of us are Mary, right? None of us are Mary. None of us are giving birth to God's Son, right? We've said before, there's only one woman who's had a child who had never known a man, right? Her name is Mary. So that will not fly in anybody's home. Only Mary. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to find her here as this angel begins to speak to her. All right, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. He was sent to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, just establishing that he has a royal lineage. The virgin's name was Mary, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And that's good right there, right? Anytime somebody's talking to you, you need to think about, who is this and what are they saying and why are you approaching me and is there any value or credit to what it is that you're bringing my direction? Verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Does anybody believe in a virgin birth? If not, let's close up shop and go home. Because we're not living what we're selling. Right? So Mary had to be a virgin or else this is all ridiculousness. "So behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." 31, 32. "He'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit's going to do this. He's going to come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." So last week we talked about Zacharias. Zacharias married to Elizabeth, married for a long time. She was barren. They were never able to have children. Elizabeth is now expecting as a woman advanced in years, to use her husband's word. And so your relative Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. So here today we want to look at this truth principle. We've said this every week and we'll say it again today. In this life, Jesus promised we will have what? There'll be trials, there'll be tribulations, there will be troubles. We will suffer here. Everybody's probably experienced that to some sort of degree. We have suffered. But he says, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." Right? So we're holding to that truth here today. But the reality is everybody has an opportunity to be afraid. And you and I have the opportunity today possibly to have fear rise up in us. Well, what we're looking at is not how do I get rid of my fear? That would be nice. What's even better is how do I live with this fear and still do what it is that God's asking me to do? And so we're going to look to that end here today. And here's the promise this morning to Mary and to you and I. The promise is, do not be afraid, for the Lord is with you, or for God is with you. Mary, do not be afraid because God is with you. And so we're going to look into this today, not just as a quote, but as a reality. And so I want to say this right up front. There's no need whatsoever to let fear keep us from doing something that God's asking us to do. Okay? So whatever fear you may find yourself dealing with today, maybe something will happen later. I'm not predicting. I'm not hoping. I'm just saying that's life, right? We wake up some days and things happen that we didn't expect to happen. And it's rough and it stinks and we don't like it, but we have to live and we have to deal with it. And we've got to work through it. Rather than letting our fear suppress us, what we're looking at is, how can I live with this fear in place? So three things we're going to do since we know the Lord is with us. Several we could talk through, but these three here specifically from our text. So the first thing is this. If you want to follow along in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to at all, but we'll talk through three points here today. The first is this. Knowing the Lord is with us is going to give us some confidence as we make decisions. It's going to give us confidence as we make decisions. So every day we face different decisions. Some are small and some are massive, right? So a small decision today was what? Getting out of bed, okay? That was a small decision. Or, you know, Pop-Tart or cereal. You know, I don't know what you have at your house. I don't remember what I had. Whatever you're eating. Oh, my muffin. There you go. Small decisions, but there are, in life there are also these big decisions. A woman here, part of our church, let's see here, this was Thursday or Friday morning, in just a matter of minutes, had to make some life decisions. Your husband cannot sustain himself. His blood pressure is dropping. He's not going to make it. Do you want to put him on this ventilator? And that's something you want to think about for a while, right? I mean, really, you don't want to think about it. But for her, she had to make a decision, and you could tell it's been a wreck on her. There's a weight there because you're wondering, am I doing the right thing, the wrong thing, what's going to happen here? Sometimes these decisions are massive, and they're heavy, and they're a big burden. Every day we're dealing with decisions. Well, what we're talking about here is there can be confidence, even in the face of fear, when we face those kind of decisions for the believer. So in our text here today, we find Mary, and I think to say it lightly, Mary's world has pretty well been rocked. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, here's a young girl who's excited about getting married. She's betrothed. Just thinking about girl things, you know, about the wedding and thinking about setting up a house and thinking about the wife she's going to be and the children that maybe they'll have one day. But just the excitement of living her life and doing life with Joseph. All we know of Mary really was that she was an ordinary girl. Right? It wasn't because she was beautiful. It wasn't because she was of high rank or degree. There was nothing that would draw us to Mary, even where she's from, that would make us think that she's popular or that she's something to have. And yet God's going to address her. And so we find her being approached by this angel, and things have changed, and they've took a pretty significant change for her. And so Mary was faced with a decision. Okay? How does Mary respond to the decision? What's the decision here? Right? We know that God is not a God who makes us do things. We're not his little robots. And so God didn't say, Mary, you're going to have this child whether you like it or not. Mary, this is what's going to happen. Mary had every opportunity to refuse and reject the Lord, just like you and I have opportunity to refuse and reject the Lord today. And so the angel says, this is how it's going to work. You're going to have a child. And it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so how does Mary respond? In verse 38, if you have your Bible open or it may be on the wall, verse 38, verse 8, right at the beginning, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. So faced with this, of having her wedding plans changed, her lifestyle changed, what people might think of her changed, we see that she responds by saying, I am the Lord's servant. Which is to say this, whatever you're asking of me, I'll do it. Because you're God. And I trust that what you ask of me is right. Now, all sorts of things we could highlight here as we talk through her response, but a few that we'll make mention of here initially. So think back through the text. Who did Mary go talk to when she heard about she was going to have a child? Did she go talk to her parents? No. Well, even before that, right? I mean, here we've got Mary and an angel. And the angel says, this is what's going to happen. And Mary says, let it be. So there's nobody else mentioned in the story. You would think a young teenage girl would run home and say, hey, Mom and Dad, this is what an angel said to me, and I need some permission. Is this okay? Or who else do you think she'd go talk to? Joseph. We're betrothed. We're getting married. And I had this thing happen to me today. Is this okay with you? Do you approve of this? Right? We want to make decisions as a couple. That's right. That's good. That's sound. And so it would seem that that would be a wisdom decision for Mary to go consult her parents or to consult Joseph. But we see Mary consulting no one. No one except this angel. And so what's the principle here this morning? The first thing is this: when God asks us to do something, it does not require anybody's permission, and it does not require anyone's approval. Right? It requires no permission, no approval. Now, does that mean that it's wrong to talk to people about things? No, there can be wisdom in counsel, in godly counsel, so it's not wrong to talk with people about things. But if people are disagreeable to what God is saying, then I don't need your permission, nor do you need their approval. So if my parents don't submit to what I believe God's doing within me, if my church doesn't agree with what God is doing within me, who am I to follow? I'm to follow God, always. God first. So yes, there can be wisdom there, but Mary had no need to go talk to mom and dad, to go talk to her spouse, future spouse. This is of the Lord. She makes a difficult decision because God was with her. And that's the deal. You've got to discern, is what's going within me a thing of God? Right? That's what you've got to know. Who's the one doing the asking? So if this is just my plan to go out and live life the way I want to, then let's talk. But if you're going to sit and tell me this is something of God and God's prodding this in me and this is according to His word as well, then I will not stand in your way. Wherever that sends you, whatever that leads you into, however long that allows you to live, however short that may allow you to live, we'll let you go. And we've got to be willing to go ourselves. So Mary was willing to make a difficult decision simply because she knew the Lord was with her. You know, I've sensed this several times in my life, but the prodding initially to get involved in ministry happened when I was a sophomore in college. I could take you to the sidewalk. I could take you several places there. And we've talked through different landmarks in our lives before. But just the prodding that there was more to your life, Corey, than physical therapy. There's more than your life than a sports medicine degree. There's more than your life than coaching. You've got to fulfill what I've created you to do. And I wasn't happy about it initially. It took me a while to submit. But when I did, it's been like this great peace ever since. It's been the ride of a lifetime. But here's the deal. When that started going on within me, did I call home and say, hey, listen, mom and dad, you're helping foot the bill for my college. Is this okay with you? No, I didn't call. Now, did I call them? Yeah, I called and said, hey, what do you think of this? And they said, our son? No way, not you, Corey. No, they didn't say that. No, they said, yes, son, if that's what God's doing in you, then, man, we're entirely behind this. So, okay, I don't know how to pursue this, but I'm going to figure it out. And so we prayed it through and started pursuing stuff. Did I go ask Stephanie at that point, my wife, hey, listen, I feel like I need to pursue ministry. Are you okay with that? Did I ask her? No. I said, hey, I think this is something God's doing. And you know what she says? Well, we need to do it. We need to do it. So here's the deal. Let's just pause for a minute. I don't usually do this, but for a side note, let's talk briefly just for that. For you who are younger and growing up, how many of you are wanting to get married? Oh, I don't believe that for a minute. Yeah. Somewhere down the road, that's going to shift. And it looks like a lot of ladies, so it's going to be a guy who may come into the picture, and you're going to think, oh, me, oh, my. I'd like to maybe talk with this guy a little bit. I may like to pursue him or let him pursue me. Along that line, I would say this: only allow someone to pursue you who loves the Lord and loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if they don't, then get off the bandwagon. Because I've been set here on mission. My life has purpose, and it's to bring glory to my God. And if we're not on the same page, you're going to pull me away. You know, they talk about missionary dating. That's where you date somebody who's not a believer in hopes that they'll come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. I did that a little bit, and it failed. I mean, there are people who have stories that worked. My parents, are that way. My mom, my dad, my grandpa was a pastor, so my mom was very active in church. The only way my dad could date my mom is that he had to go to church. He went to see a girl. He went to hang out with a girl after church. And lo and behold, God got a hold of him at a service and said, "Buddy, you're a sinner." And he said, "Yes, I am. And I need saved. I need Jesus." And so he became a believer there. And just a radical transformation in the life of a man. So I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying typically that's not the best approach. That's not the way you want to go about it. So pursue that guy, pursue that girl, as long as they're on mission with God. You're on the same page there. And if not, then man, it's just not worth the wreck that might happen. And so we see Mary was willing to do this very same thing, right? Mary was willing to do the same thing. If it cost her relationship with Joseph, she was willing to do what the Lord said. And if Joseph bailed, then that was his decision. But for her, this was a God thing, and so she was going to honor the Lord. She didn't need anybody's permission or approval. Anybody feel comfortable in the way you're living right now? I'm not asking, do you have everything that you want? I'm saying life's pretty good. You got a job, okay job, whatever. You got some kind of income. You got friends. You got family. You're established. You know where things are locally. You kind of feel like this is home. What would it take to get you to move? I don't mean downsizing. I mean, what would it take for you or for me to uproot and go somewhere else? I think some of us are probably thinking an act of God. And it would. And that's what would be required. I'm not asking you to move somewhere, but if God is, what's the answer? Ding, ding, ding. Let's go. Sell the stuff. I don't need it anyway. Where are we headed? Where are we going? How are you leading? I'm following. I'm on board. I came across a good post from a friend this week that kind of summarized this whole first point. She wrote and said this: "We need to be prepared to walk away from the life we have created into the life that God has created." So I'm saying, just keep those roots shallow. Keep them shallow. Because if and when God comes along and prods your heart to go do something in His name, then the response is, "I'm the Lord's servant," just like it was for Mary. "I'm the Lord's servant. You don't have to ask me. I don't have to ask you. We'll talk about it, pray together, and we'll pat each other on the back, and we'll pray for one another and send you. You send me, and we'll go however that works." But if the Lord's asking, my only response is yes. I find that gets a little more difficult the longer I am somewhere. So we've been here almost 11 years. And to keep that fire and that spirit sensitive to that, you make friends and you got connections and life happenings here and all sorts of stuff. It's like, I want to be here. Nothing's telling me any different. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is it's difficult to say, "I'm up and ready whenever you say, let's go." You got to be ready to go. And so we're going to see there initially, knowing the Lord is with us, it's going to give us some confidence as we're going to make some of these difficult decisions. All right, let's progress here to the second point. Knowing that the Lord is with us is going to give us some courage for the task. So what's the first thing? Well, one of the first things that the angel says to Mary. What are we saying the angels pronounce to all these people? "Fear not," okay? So do not be afraid. So that tells us that Mary she's scared. She's got some fear going on within her. But here's the reality of it. Mary doesn't let her fear dictate what she's going to do or not do. And so she's not going to be suppressed by her fear. Matter of fact, for Mary, it's the other way around. And so knowing God was with her gave her this humbleness to submit to the situation. Whatever it was God was asking, this task ahead of her, she was willing to submit to it. So let's see that. Here in Luke 1, verse 38, we just read, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. The next part of that says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." May your word to me be fulfilled. So what it is that you're asking of me, I will do it. And with your power, I will accomplish it. I'm trusting you in this thing. And so she was courageous in the task that laid before her. And listen, this is just a constant theme throughout the Bible. People where the presence of God was with them and they just kept trucking and they kept walking with the Lord. Let's look at some of these. Deuteronomy, we find a guy named Moses. And Moses is trying to encourage the people of Israel. God's given you some land and He's going to give you cities that you haven't built. houses that you haven't built. He's going to give you farms and land that you haven't plowed. He's going to bless you with all this stuff. Your job is to go in and get it. And so Moses, before he dies, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, he says to the nation of Israel, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or afraid because of them, the people you're about to go in and meet to battle. For the Lord your God, what does he do? He goes with you. And what's his promise? I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And so we see Israel begin to cross over, and they're courageous. Not because they had the best armor, not because they were the best trained warriors, but because God said, I'm with you. Joshua, we find the succession here of Moses. Joshua is the next leader of Israel. And Joshua is going to be the one who's going to lead the people into that land that we just talked about. And so here, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? This is God to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so it's not like Joshua all of a sudden got some Iron Man suit. And he could go into battle and no sword could pierce it, no rock could pierce it. And he was just like this shell of a man. What happened here? What changed? The significance is that God was with him. There's a guy by the name of Gideon. Some of our children have been studying Gideon here recently. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So Gideon was able to go in and do with a few hundred and annihilate thousands simply because the Lord was with him. Psalm 23. We've got this Psalm of David, and he's talking about dark days, and he's talking about the valley of death or this valley of darkness. And he says, even though I walk through this dark day or this dark valley, I'm not going to fear evil. Why? For you're with me. So here again, it's not, hey, just suck it up and be a man. This is what men are supposed to do. This guy is persevering through difficulty because God is with him. Isaiah, here we find this prophet a little later to the same people, the Israel, nation of Israel. He says, do not fear. This is God through Isaiah to the people. So do not fear, for I'm with you. And do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll hold you with my righteous right hand. So here again, we have this promise of the presence of the Lord. It's not just Old Testament, though, right? Matthew 28 is where we talk about making disciples in this great commission. And so we're going to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that we've been commanded by God. And then he says, lastly, and lo, I'm with you always, right? Even to the very end. And so we have this certainty of promise that the Lord is with us, and it gives us courage for the task. Matter of fact, that's one of the names of Jesus, right? The prophet Isaiah talks about how he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He also talks about how his name will be called Emmanuel. And we see this also from Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This is talking about Jesus. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. And so all these people were up for the task. They were courageous for the task because of the common denominator, which was the presence of God. So this time of year, we're going to talk a lot about presence, right? Looking forward to presence 10 days from now. But the greatest present is not wrapped up under a tree. It's the presence of God. So when God is with me, that is what gives me the encouragement for whatever it is that may lie ahead. I love Moses in Exodus 33. This isn't on the wall. But God's talking about it's time to move on. And Moses makes a comment there and he says, if your presence goes, then I don't want to stay. All right? If you're going away, then we're going with you. But if your presence is going to stay right here, then we don't want to go. Don't send us away. We want to stay where you are. One of my favorite bands, Shane and Shane, sing a song along those lines. If your presence goes, I don't want to stay. If your presence stays, I don't want to go. So what can be a great reality and a great truth for you and I this morning is what Paul said in Philippians. I really can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. whatever it is, because of the presence of the Lord. And so I'm going to encourage you here, just press on. Whatever it is God's asking of you, press on. His presence is with you as you pursue and follow after him. Third and last here this morning, knowing God is with us is also going to give us some comfort. And it's the comfort when there's the potential for loneliness. You ever been alone? And you wanted somebody around and just, I mean, really felt like there's nobody. You got no friend to turn to. No one's home. Nobody's answering their phone. It feels like it's just me. I think Mary, and this is all just, you know, pen speculation, but I think Mary was somewhere had to think about a little bit, just how is this going to affect things? How is this going to affect, I mean, is Joseph really still going to marry me? How about it, fellas? Would you have married Mary? I mean, Joseph had the right to bring her out publicly back in the day, according to Leviticus. You expose her publicly, and then what do you do to her? You pick up big rocks and you chuck them at her until she dies. It's called stoning. He had the right. And so I just wonder if that was in her mind somewhere. I wonder, you know, there are people today, right now, whose parents will have nothing to do with their children because of choices they make. We could talk through all sorts of choices that we make that may make parents make those types of decisions, but I wondered if she thought, my parents are going to disown me. I wonder if they're going to believe my story, or will they just think that I've just dishonored their name and tell me to go live? What hope would Mary have had if her parents wouldn't have accepted her and Joseph wouldn't have married her? She had nothing. You know what happened to women like that back then? Most of them became prostitutes. And that's how they tried to do life. And they suffered through because nobody would have anything to do with them. So I just wonder if all this kind of stuff is welling up in her mind after she makes the decision and gives her answer. I just wonder if she starts to think some of these things. What we see here, though, is the same angel that gave the promise that the Lord is with you is going to seal that with another promise. And so let's look at that in verse 37. What's the initial promise? Fear not, because I am with you. The Lord, or God, is with you, rather, is the promise. Then verse 37 says, for no word from God will what? Will ever fail. So what I pronounce to you initially is, I'm with you, Mary. I've given you an example to show that this is really true. Your family member, Elizabeth, who's never been able to have kids, she's expecting a child right now. And what you need to know is that nothing that I've said to you is impossible. Everything that I say I will do, I will do. And that's just as true for you and I here today. Right? Anything that the Lord has promised those who believe in him as his followers, he's going to see it through. He's going to bring that to pass. And so it's not something I just talk about with Mary and go, I wish God would do the same thing for me. So now I have confidence today that the same Lord who was with her is with me as well. That's what we celebrate in Advent, right? Advent means coming, and it's that the Lord has come, and he is with us. He's with us. He is here. So this morning, briefly, we've tried to look into what it looks like to live with fear, as was the case for Mary. And my hope is this, that when we walk out of this place, we'll have a little more confidence as we try to make difficult decisions, that we'll take some courage and do what the Lord has asked of us, and that we'll find comfort that even though I may feel like nobody's around me, I am never alone. There is never a point for the believer where you're alone. Now, there's a song that we'll learn here before too long, a little chorus we've sung a few times. It's kind of like a Jesus Loves Me song. It says, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. The last verse says, when I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. The promise here is, Jesus is enough. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so what I wonder today is this, are you facing a fear right now in your life that's making you a little bit uncomfortable? Is there something that you're dealing with, or maybe you're not dealing with? And you just feel like, I don't have the confidence to make this decision right now. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's good. I'm not sure really what to do at this point. Maybe that's you. I just want to remind you, he's with you. Maybe you find yourself today, though, there's something that God has prodded you to do. There's a family member you need to talk to. There's a neighbor you need to serve. There's a co-worker you need to take out to lunch. There's a friend that you may need to talk to about the Lord. Maybe there's a complete stranger that you just need to love on. And has God's Spirit quit? Has God's Spirit died? And when's the last time you've been prodded by the Spirit of God to do something other than go to church? And I'm not minimizing that. I'm saying that's the least. Christian life is so much more than a Sunday. Maybe you find that God's Word says, I need to forgive some people and I just can't stand them. You know what you need to do? What I need to do? What? Forgive them. I know some of these things sound more simple than they may be. But the truth of the matter is, if it's a command from God, there's no reason for us to hesitate. There's no reason for us to be obstinate or to reject it or to give our excuse. I just can't do it. No. If God's asking you, you can do it. Or maybe you think this, if I responded to the Lord like Mary did, there would be people in my life who would just bail on me. Lee Strobel, the gentleman who wrote The Case for Christ and Faith and Creator and all sorts of books, talks about when his wife came to the Lord, he thought his world had ended. And he was mad. Because they had set up life the way they wanted to do life. And now, lo and behold, this lady comes home and says, I'm a Christian. And he was angry to the point where he's throwing his fist through walls. Because he felt like his wife had been taken from him. This is not the life that we set out for. This is not what I want. If you know Lee's story, his wife stayed faithful to the Lord and to her husband. And Lee started pursuing what it is that she believed to kind of expose it for a fraud. And he has, what, millions of copies of his books around the world telling people that, no, Jesus really is real. And this is what he's done in my life. Look at what he's done in all these people's lives. And I was so wrong to think that God was doing, he was wrecking my marriage. What God was doing was making it beautiful and right. Maybe you feel like Lee there. If I respond, it's going to make a wreck of my family. May get fired. My friends may reject me. I don't know how it works for you. The bottom line simply is this. Whatever it is God is asking needs no one's permission, needs no one's approval. All it needs is our willing response. And so I wonder, how will you respond today?